Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, May 18th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we focus on a topic very near and very dear to my heart. It's preparing and cooking meat. And with the arrival of spring, summer soon to be knocking, asking to join the party, many will be looking forward to grilling. And this is the time to learn some secret tricks. And we have some experts here to talk to you about that. Chef Michael Lappi and Chef Josh Coletto are here to answer your questions about grilling and cooking meats. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Oh, they brought some good stuff, and we'll talk about it. And we'll talk about your cooking questions on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's a Food Friday, and if you've listened to this program over the years, you know I feel strongly about a couple things, beef and booze. Well, we have a great topic of today's program. It's preparing and cooking meat, and here on this program, we have chefs Michael Lappi and Josh Coletto. Michael is the instructor of culinary arts and meat processing at SUNY Cobleskill. He's the former owner and chef of Church & Main Restaurant in Canajoharie. Josh is a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America and chef owner of Nighthawks in Troy, New York. Michael and Josh are great guests. They've been on this program before. If you have a question about preparing, cooking meat, maybe grilling inside, there are things to talk about and some really fine points that these guys, they know the secrets. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. Michael Lappi and Josh Coletto, welcome back to the show, gentlemen.
Hey, Ray. Thanks for having us. Nice to be back.
Boy, you sure did great. The stuff you brought. And thankfully, you got here early enough that we were in the green room trying it all out.
I think everybody got to try it.
You brought so much food. And so first, before we talk about how you guys are doing, let's talk about what you brought. First of all, Michael Lappi, you buttered the steak, and for that, you should win some sort of a prize.
Yeah, I brought two really awesome cuts from the sirloin. The one from the top sirloin is at your culotte steak, and I also brought a tri-tip from your bottom sirloin, which I have some morel and spruce tip butter on that.
And this is something that you have not a steak that you would ordinarily buy and cook up.
Normally you don't see either of those steaks in the grocery store, especially the culotte. Once in a while you'll see a tri-tip, but not that often. The culotte was actually grilled over white oak and brushed with some thyme and some sea salt and black pepper. It's really both really delicious steaks. For anyone who likes a meatier steak, that's a good choice.
And they're perfectly done. And before I get to your technique for making them perfectly done, let's just talk a little bit about that morel butter. That is something special.
Yeah, morels are out now. I've been out harvesting morels. The spruce tips just popped out, and I got myself some Amish butter yesterday. Let it come to room temp. Grilled the...
Now, Amish butter is one that doesn't drive a car?
Yeah, right.
No, I have no idea what Amish butter is.
Well, it's made by the Amish local in Fort Plain.
I see.
I grilled the morels over some, coals and added the spruce tips and pureed everything together and made a nice compound butter.
It can't be too good for you, though, can it?
No.
Hopefully
my doctor's not listening.
Well, I heartily approve. And as I said, the cooking job, it is perfectly pink in the middle, but it's done and it's tender. Tell us about how you did this over the white oak.
All right. So basically what I'm doing is I have my grill is set up where I have a master fire and then an indirect source of heat where I can cook things and add coals by what I need. So I'll start out so it's just so it doesn't flare up and have a nice steady heat, and then cook it, only flipping it once on each side. And once I can tell by looking at the outside of the meat where it's extruding any water, that it's getting to the point of where I want it to be. And then I'll put it to the side and let it rest. Letting the meat rest is probably the most beneficial part of actually cooking meat outside or inside, if that matter.
All right. Now, maybe you guys can both help me here, and then we'll get to the phones at 800-348-2551. Letting the meat rest. My wife and I had this discussion as we grilled on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I made a couple of strip steaks, and I seared them. We had lump charcoal, and I seared them, and then I put them up top, and we just smoked them. And by the grace of God, I actually had them perfectly done. You know, it's sort of like playing the lottery. I got very lucky. And we let them rest for about 10 minutes covered on a plate. I mean, how long would you let something rest? It seems like it cooks for a while on its own.
If I was cooking whole mussels, such as, say, a beef loin or a whole ribeye, I would let it rest up to, say, 45 minutes.
Really?
The larger the
Without
piece,
heat on it.
Correct. Just tented.
Yeah.
Just lightly tented.
And that's like a roast or anything like that.
And then definitely with a larger piece of meat, you can go up to that 45 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes. With a steak, 10 minutes is probably right where you should be.
Yeah.
And it really helps redistribute any of the liquid in the steak. It makes it moist. The muscle fibers have a chance to relax. And it ends up being much more tender and much more flavorful.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Michael Lappy and Josh Coletto here to help you make your perfect grilling experience. Let's go to the phones and Noah in the Bronx. Noah, you're on.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Noah.
Hey, Noah.
I did have two questions, actually.
All right. Prepared notes, I hope. Okay.
I'm sorry?
You had some prepared notes?
Yeah. Listen, I've known Josh and Mike over the years, and both great guys, great chefs. We're talking about meat today. One of the things, as members of Chefs Consortium, over the years, we've done a lot of events. We've cooked a lot of things. I'm hoping that Mike or Josh, or maybe the both of you, can just talk a little bit about the differences between grass-fed and grass and grain fed beef and what that looks like in New York State.
All right. We've had this conversation on this program before, but it's a good topic.
So from a meat processing standpoint, grass and grain finished can be both delicious, and they both have equal points where they can be both great. Of animal that's raised on grass and raised well on grass and fed well and finished well can be prime just as a grain finished animal. They both can render a prime yielding carcass, which is what you're looking for in quality beef. I have no disposition on either or, but there are health benefits and to grass fed great grass finished meat, which what I want to say is supporting local farms is much more important to me of where if the animal is directly fed there. And you can think about animals being grass finished and grass fed. If it's fully grass fed, that means it's never had grain through its lifespan, which finishing with grain to me is an acceptable way of finishing an animal as well.
Josh?
I feel I like looking at farmers that do grass-fed, because generally in those practices, the animals are healthier. Grass is more of a natural diet for the animal. But that being said, in an area where grass doesn't go year-round, I think grain is absolutely acceptable. And
yeah, that's
and still produces
kind of
a
where
really
I
great
was
product.
Headed with that is saying, yeah. You know, the farmers out there that can really raise a good grass-finished animal, that's great. But for the people that, you know, couldn't supplement it's not a bad thing to supplement with grain to finish
right.
An animal.
Noah, thanks a lot. We have to take a break here. We have Michael Lappy and Josh Coletto here. We talk meat on this Food Friday edition of Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. More of your calls coming up.
Support for WMT comes from Finn, your fishmonger, Gilderland, bringing fresh seafood to the capital region, East and West Coast oysters shucked to eat in or take out, fresh, sustainable, memorable, finshops.com. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, Outdoor Market every Saturday on River Street, over 80 local farms and food vendors weekly, open every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., troymarket.org for information. Holiday Brook Farm, a fourth-generation farm raising heritage grass-fed beef, lamb, and pastured pork, delivering black gold compost for organic gardens, 100 Holiday Cottage Road, Dalton, Massachusetts, 413-684-0444. Delmar Farmers Market, 332 Kenwood Avenue, Delmar, celebrating 10 years of local and organic farm products, baked goods, fair trade crafts, music, and more every Saturday from 9 to 1, delmarmarket.org. And Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering.
Vox Pop and a Food Friday at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here with Michael Lappe and Josh Coletto, and we talk meat on this edition of Food Friday. And Josh Coletto, what is that stuff on the bread? It's phenomenal.
So for the restaurant, we got a whole cow, so I have to use different parts of the animal for different things because I don't want to waste anything.
Yeah.
So here I've taken some beef tallow and I've rendered it out, which is the fat, and I've turned it, made it liquid, and I've toasted the meat in it and made a like roasted meat fat. Strained it out and added a ton of onions, caramelized them until there was basically no water left, and then essentially whipped it with some, I used kombucha for some acid that I had made.
Yeah.
I used a few different herbs that I had kicking around from the Chatham Children's Garden, which my partner runs. And then, you know, we just took that spread and put it on some Placid Baker bread, and it's great.
You know, to me, this is the classic comfort food. And I'm sure that there is a heart catheter in my future, but that is amazing stuff. Now, will this be at the new restaurant, Nighthawks?
You know, I'm going to do something like this, absolutely, because we have a totally rotating menu that will change week to week. So this, you know, you come in, you might see this, you might not, but there will always be a ton of different options.
Well, like real that. Quick here, tell us about the new venture. You sound pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it's me and Howard Glassman who—
Howard! Uh-oh, that's trouble right there.
Former owner of Valentine's. He has the Low Beat.
Yeah.
And, you know, we work together.
WAMC alum, he is.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's all over the place. Everyone knows him. But we worked together at the Low Beat doing the rock and roll brunches for a while, and then we decided to open a place together.
And this will be in Troy?
And this will be on Troy. It's on the corner of 5th and Broadway, 461 Broadway.
When does that open?
We're going for the first week in June is when we're looking.
Wow, that's close.
Very close. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, we're getting ready, you know, open for lunch, dinner, late night, full bar, all local food. That's what I do. So I like to be creative, create a great meal for anyone that comes in.
All right,
great
drinks. Be honest now. You and Howard are opening a restaurant. How long has it been since you got a night's sleep?
Well, it's been quite a while. Yeah. I also have a 9-month-old daughter, so,
Well, you were up anyway then, that's fine.
So I figure, you know, in a couple of years I'll start sleeping again.
No, you won't. Take it from a dad. Hey, Michael, what's going on with you?
Lots of different things. I just finished out the semester, but on July 7th, I'm doing a Bounty of the County, which is, put on by Salt of Schoharie Valley. We're doing a five-course dinner at the Carrot Barn, which I have a lineup of chefs that can't be beat, really. Noah Sheets from the Bronx is coming up. Dan Spitz from Washington County. Nikki Kagan from Stone Ridge.
Nice.
Steve Kirzner, a local from... He's in the Albany right now at the Cuckoo's Nest as a executive chef. Just a great lineup of chefs. We're going to be using all local ingredients. It's going to benefit the Schoharie Valley Salt. You can get your tickets at...
We don't do prices now. Be careful.
No, no prices.
Just tell us how we can find out more. That's a good public radio way to do that.
You can look at the Salt website, which is...
Not Assault. It's Salt?
Salt, yeah.
Salt.
Yes. Schoharie area long-term.
Okay. And so what's the... Do we know the website?
It's...
Okay, well, we'll find it. Yeah, we'll find it during the next break. And it's The Bounty of the County, which I believe was a great Kenny Rogers song as
it's
well.
www.saltdevelopment.org.
All right, 10-4. All right, let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. It's all about meat and Helena and Colony. Helena, you're on.
Hi. First of all, I want to say I am so excited about Nighthawk. I love the rock and roll brunch, and I cannot wait until you guys open. It sounds like it's going to be great.
Cool.
But I need you to settle a debate in my home. We smoke meat in summer, you know, my husband likes to throw it on the grill, mow the lawn, be there all day, and he always does like a really nice rub, but I like sauce on my meat, a little, you know, maybe a Carolina barbecue sauce, and he treats me like I'm a peasant for wanting that. Like, is that wrong?
That's an age-old debate, and I don't think you're wrong. It's a different thing.
Yeah, I think a good combination of the rub to cook it and then finish it with the sauce is great.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would suggest.
All right, so we're both right. That's very diplomatic. Thank you.
Well, Helena, just tell him he's wrong. That's usually a good answer.
Well, he's so used to that. Exactly. They probably ignore me.
We all are. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Food Friday at Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hi. Well, due to the recent power outages, I was forced to do some inside grilling. I have what I don't know if you gentlemen are familiar with, a reflector oven. It's a half a barrel, only it's 22 inches long and maybe 12 or 14 inches in radius, and it has a spit in the middle of it, and you put it in front of the fireplace. And we did a roast of pork loin on it. And apparently the idea is that the flames from it's like grilling. The flames come towards the meat, and then it also reflects off the back of the oven and cooks it. And we coated it with a mixture of a little bit of honey and mustard mixed together, and turned it every 10 minutes and used the meat thermometer. It came out at 350 in the center, and I took it out, and everything. It was the best piece of pork I've ever had. Have you ever used one? And if you have, do you have any other suggestions as to what we could do on it?
All right, a reflector oven.
I have never used a reflector oven. I've used, you know, done tons of fire cooking, and I love the fact that you can do that inside on your fireplace. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
It sounds like a cool contraption.
It has a spout on the bottom to collect the juices, and a thing on the top with holes in it that if you want to put the juices back in and let it drip down on it. I've never used one up until that time, and I was pleasantly surprised. Huh. It turned out better than anything I've done in the oven, or it's sort of like grilling, only you do it from both sides at the same time.
So, Mark, this is something that you purchased and not something you made out of an old oil drum out in the backyard?
You could probably do that. No, but I purchased it's probably an early 20th century reproduction of an 18th century oven. Spent a couple $100s on it.
And cool.
It has little spokes in it where you put the holes where the holes are, so you can rotate it and hold it there. And you just put the meat on that, and you just make sure you turn it, I guess. And my biggest problem was I called a neighbor who had done it as to how far from the fire it should be. And she said, put it even with the front of the fireplace. And it cooked in about an hour and a half, and it was beautiful.
That's great. Michael, awesome. Have you heard of such a thing?
No, I never heard of one, but it sounds like delicious.
Well, Mark, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. Huh, reflector oven. I like it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're going to go over to Linda in North Carolina. Hello, Linda.
Hello there. And my son-in-law is Michael Lappy.
You're kidding.
And I'm just putting in my two cents that he is a wonderful chef. Everything that he makes is delicious.
And did you know that he puts butter on steak?
Oh, I'm sure he does, and I'll eat it, whether with butter or without. If he made it, I'll eat it.
It's really good. Well, thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Good luck with your program.
Thank
I love you, Mike.
I love you, too.
Bye now. Oh, that's nice. 800-348-2551. That's your mother-in-law?
Yes.
And you get along with her?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
Definitely.
Hey, that's great. And I'll just leave it there. Let's go over to Bruce in Stanford. Bruce, you're on.
Hi. I cooked a London broil two nights ago, and I couldn't control the grill. It went from 300 to 500. But anyway, it was about 2 inches thick. I want to cook another one Monday. I'd like to know what the best way is to prep it. Should I marinate it, stab it with a fork 100 times each side, and marinate it in what, maybe butter? I don't know.
All right, guys. Well, I have my own thoughts, but you go first. You're the experts.
I personally am a salt and pepper kind of person. London broil is something I grew up on. My family ate them all the time. So what I would suggest is start off with a high heat, get some char on it, and then move it to an indirect area, and then just temp it out at a little under like 135, and let it rest for that, you know, a good 15 minutes, and then slice it, and it'll be really, yeah. It'll be delicious.
How about you, Josh?
I mean, that's pretty much the same method I would go. I tend not to use a marinade with steaks unless I'm making something like carne asada or something. Mm. So I think it's most important to just get good quality meat and then salt and pepper and let it get to room temp before you grill it and get a nice char on the outside. And
they're the experts, Bruce, but in my house, we will marinate it for 24 to 36 hours and then put it right down low on over the charcoals. Get it seared on either side and then put it way up high and then just start smoking and just put the wood chips right on and let it go hour and a half and just very low and slow. And that works for me.
I thought salt dried meat out.
Well, there's two different approaches you can take. So a lot of times if I have an advanced period of time where I can salt the meat and within a 24-hour period, that's almost like marinating itself. It's actually going to start breaking down some of the muscle tissue and season all the way through. But normally what I'll do is salt like 10 minutes before it hits the grill. And it doesn't dry out the meat. I think handling the meat well is really, you know, what you can do with best.
I mean, for a quick cooking like grilling, it's less of an issue than maybe if you were braising something. You don't want to put a lot of salt in it before you braise it because then it will start to dry the meat out. But with a quicker London broil type thing, I think salt is perfect.
All right, Bruce, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. We talk meat today with Josh Coletto and Michael Lappy. And over to who's been waiting longest here? Let's go to Aaron in East Bern. Aaron, you're next.
Hi. Hi, Mike. It's Aaron Bratt, Helder Herdwick Farm.
Hey, Aaron. How are you?
Good. Being a producer of from a pasture-based farm, one of the things I'd like to hear both of you talk about is the difference in cooking pasture-based meats or grass-fed compared to conventional meats, because the scariest thing is the work we put into growing these animals. And then someone buys a roast and doesn't realize, like, for instance, the pork roast will cook a lot faster than a store-bought one. And then they're like, oh, yuck, it's dried out. So that would be great to hear your guys' experience and recommendation.
All right. First of all, why would it cook more quickly?
A lot of pasture-based meats are a little leaner. Not necessarily, but for the most part, they are, which has a tendency to dry out if there's a higher cooking temps or, you know, if you handle it the same way as something that's been grain finished, it takes a lot less time. You just have to be more delicate in your approach to cooking.
Do you lower your temperature?
Lower your temperatures. When I had the restaurant, I had a really good setup where I would sear all the meats that I cooked, and then I had a really low oven that cooked at a really low temp that would, you know, basically cook grass-fed meat, and it would be perfectly pink all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like...
Thank you.
You really need to handle the grass-fed pasture meat a little more delicately and just, you know, pay more attention to it when you're cooking, because just as the farmers pay more attention to it while they're producing it, it's something that, you know, it's a labor of love, and you'll have a better product as long as you work with it.
Well, Aaron, thank you for the call. It is Food Friday, and we talk meat today with Josh Coletto and Michael Lappy, and the number is 800-348-2551. Over to Jim in Great Barrington. Jim, you're on.
Hey guys, thank you for taking my call. Josh, I'm a big fan. I can't wait for Nighthawks to open. That's going to be great.
Oh, thank you so much.
So my question for both of you is, you both mentioned cooking with fire, and I'm looking to get into cooking with fire more. What would be the best type of wood to use for trying something like that?
Now, are you talking barbecue?
Yeah, well, similar to what Mike was talking about, where he cooks steak outdoors. I'm just curious how I can do that myself.
Well, I mean, all you need is a little fire pit and a grate, or you can cook it, you know, directly on some coals. And I would use, any hardwood at all.
Really? Doesn't matter to you?
Not if you're just grilling.
Any hardwood.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk for a minute about something you just said, and I know we've brought this up before. Put it directly on the coals? Really?
You light up the fire, you let it cook down until it's just a bunch of coals sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, I'll blow on it to try to get some ashes off, and then I'll just put a steak right on those coals.
You're kidding me. That must be a very quick cook.
You know, it's not that much faster than just grilling it. No.
No, not much.
I've never seen that done before. I'd be afraid.
You should try it.
Be afraid of ruining the steak. Right.
Don't be scared.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd want to do it with charcoal.
No, not briquettes, but you could do it with lump charcoal.
The lump charcoal is good stuff. By the way, the bacon, who made the bacon? You make the bacon?
We made that at SUNY Cobleskill in our smokehouse.
It's delicious.
Yeah, we've been working on that for a while, getting it, perfect.
All right, so what have you done? What have you learned?
Just controlling the machinery that we're using. You know, we've got our brining methods down really well. Our smoke is, really nice. I think I'm very proud of what we've developed.
It's fantastic.
Thank
All right,
you.
Tell us, I've never made bacon, so tell us about that.
So you have a couple different options, dry cure or pump brining. We pump brine at the school. I also do some dry cured, which dry cured is taking a 2.5% salt and spice mixture, putting it over the meat, flipping it daily so the salt will penetrate into the meat, and then basically hanging it, letting it dry, and then smoking it.
Yeah,
and that's what I do. That's what I do at the restaurant.
So what we do at SUNY Cobleskill is we'll pump all our bacons to 15% salinity with a salt, bay leaf, and sugar brine.
So just with a syringe kind of thing?
Yeah, basically. So we'll pump it up to 15% of its weight, and then vacuum seal it, and then tumble it every day, turn it over, and then let it hang for a day after we take it out of the vacuum sealer, vacuum seal bags, and then we smoke it for probably 3 hours at 170 degrees.
And that's it, only 3 hours?
Roughly, yeah. That takes, because we're looking to get to about 143 at final temp.
Hmm. Very good stuff. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. We talk with Michael Lappe today, who is an instructor of culinary arts and meat processing at SUNY Cobleskill, and Josh Coletto, whose new venture is Nighthawks, which will be opening in June in Troy, New York. We'll take a quick break and then get back to the phones. It's Vox Pop. It's a Food Friday.
Support for WAMC comes from The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. Gloriosa & Company, hosting weddings at the Curtis House in Ashfield, Massachusetts, with on-site guest accommodations, local floral design, and weekly summer flower CSA shares also available. GloriosaCO.com. Field Goods, local food from small farms delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, working to help people change the way they eat while supporting small sustainable farms. Field-goods.com. Wild Bird Junction Backyard Nature Shop, 308 Delaware Avenue, Delmar, offering wild bird seed, bird feeders, bird houses, bird baths, chimes, binoculars, and many Father's Day gifts for Dad. WildBirdJunction.com. And the Egremont Village Inn, presenting Pressing Strings, national tour band on Friday night, and on Saturday night, the BTUs, local blues rock. Tickets and information at theegremontbarn.com.
Nothing says grilled meats like James Brown music. It's Vox Pop Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you, and joined today by Josh Coletto and Michael Lappy. And we'll get back to the phones in a minute. This email came in from regular correspondent Alan in Colony. And the subject heading is indoor barbecue grills. Be careful. As I live in a large apartment complex, indoor grilling and smoking is not an option. I've seen ads for smokeless indoor grills, which promise great outdoor results. I do doubt the claims. I do have grill pans and such, but they don't have outdoor performance. Any ideas?
I mean, that's really tough, because if you can't have open flames and smoke, it's going to be hard to get the open flame and smoke flavor.
And that's a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
You don't really want to have a grill inside the house.
Yeah.
No.
The grill pans are great, and they, you know, but it's not going to produce anything near what you get outside.
I solely believe in wood as a, you know, a medium of fire for grilling. Gas, that really doesn't do it for me. You know, hardwood is the way to go.
Okay. Well, that won't help him in his apartment.
I know
so
that.
So you really weren't unresponsive to his question.
So yeah. He's got to go to maybe a local park and...
That's a great answer.
Well,
that's a great answer. Take a little break.
It's great. Our regular correspondent, Alan, arrested for barbecuing in a pit in a local park. Alan, you might want to take that with a grain of salt. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Jeremy in Chatham. Jeremy, you're next.
Hi there. I was wondering what your take is on Hereford as a source of beef. If there's any particular cut of it that you like, or sources locally.
I love all types of beef. All, you know, different breeds. Hereford's wonderful. And it all really goes back to who's raising it, how they're raising it. You know. That's pretty much the bottom line is, you know, how it's been taken care of. And there's so many great farms in this area that produce some excellent, excellent beef.
Okay.
So you don't think the variation of the breed is as important as how it's raised?
Definitely. I think it all comes back to how the animal was handled and conditioned up to the point of harvest.
There are no difference in the breeds?
There are differences, but the bottom line is if the animal is raised well, it's going to turn out delicious.
Yeah, I definitely agree with
that. Okay.
All right, Jeremy, thanks a lot for the call. And say it for us again, Hereford?
Yeah, Hereford.
All right, now this has been, believe it or not, this has been an item of discussion among those of us who are on the air here. There's an underwriting announcement that mentions Hereford beef, and there's a phonetic prompt that says, say it, Hereford. Well, somebody wrote in quite irate, said, no, it's Hereford. And we all did all the research we could. Apparently Rex Harrison in My Fair Lady said Hereford. Well, I don't think he was referring to the beef. But around here, it's Hereford, right?
Yeah, I would say.
That's what I've heard.
Okay. Yeah. You've heard
Hereford.
In Hereford. All right, let's go over to Jay in Worthington. Jay, you're on.
First of all, as to Hereford, you know, that's an upper class way of saying it.
Yeah.
But it's also Hereford, and it's sort of, you know, it's like whether you're high church or low church. But you know, to your point about how an animal's raised, absolutely. You know, every breed will have different characteristics, but it's how the animal's raised. You know, I raise beef, so I think about it. Lastly. You know, I also cut firewood. The best firewood is split to, I mean, if you're going to use it for a barbecue and you're going to, you know, put the meat on it, you want it split that, you know, 2x2. Split 2x2. You want it to be thoroughly burned, bright cold. I still recommend using a grate. You know, you can set the grate on the coals, but, you know, it just holds the steak at the right angle of attack, let's put it that way, instead of flopping it over the burning fire. So that's my two cents, okay. And this is a great show. Oh, lastly, do not, under any circumstance, light a fire inside an apartment, house. You know, forget it.
You make a point.
Forget about the curtains, whatever.
Yeah, no.
You don't want to do that.
I agree, and our legal department also agrees. So, Jay, thanks a lot for the call. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. Yes, do not light a grill in your living room or on your porch inside. Not a good plan. Now, this email came in from Sheila. And she writes, I was raised by a father who always cooked with barbecue sauce. I love barbecue sauce, but lately I've been seeing more and more products marked as grilling sauces. Can you please educate us? What is the difference between barbecue sauce and grilling sauce?
I think that's mostly probably marketing.
Yeah. Well, how would they do it in Hereford?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not quite highbrow enough to answer that question. I would say, you know, barbecue is a long, slow method of cooking that's, you know, based around smoke and low heat, and grilling is generally a really fast cooking method. So, you know, it's, I think anything could be a grill sauce. You could, you know, some people might say, you know, ketchup could be a grill sauce if you want.
Yeah.
Like anything, as long as you know, like it.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Josh Coletto and Michael Lappy are joining us. Yeah, you know, you talk to the real experts out Kansas City way or wherever the barbecue people do their thing. Do not confuse the two, grilling and barbecuing. It's quite different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of in between. Like, when I'll do a London broil, it will be on there on very low heat and wood smoke for an hour and a half. But I don't think that's – is that barbecue or is that grilling?
I'd still call that grilling.
Yeah, I guess you'd call it grilling. Well, barbecue normally I would consider something, you know, cooked to the point where it's, you know – tender and falling off the bone. Grilling normally would be something that would be done over an open fire or indirect heat that you turn out like a medium rare product.
Yeah. Michael, you said you earlier today taught a sausage making class.
Yeah.
And you brought sausages. Tell us about those.
So I have one sausage here, which is a pig that I harvested myself, which has... The only thing it has in it, because I really truly believe that sausage should be very minimal, has the pork, the skin from bacon that's been cooked down and ground through the grinder, and dried chili, cherry peppers. Mm. And there's three ingredients, and it's just handled well and bound well, and it's really super delicious. And I also have a maple breakfast sausage that we made at SUNY Cobleskill.
Okay, and the maple breakfast sausage... You're just adding maple syrup?
Just maple syrup as a sweetener. It's got sage, black pepper, and fine grind, and, you know, has a good bind.
I haven't tried that one yet, but clearly the density is quite a bit more than your average frozen breakfast sausages you would buy and throw in the grill. So that looks perfect.
Yeah.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday, and we talk all about meat today. And let's see, we've covered the bacon. We've covered the beef, we've covered the sausage, we've covered the bread. I think we've covered it all.
I think so. That's all the food we brought today. We didn't bring beer this
time. Let's talk about burgers.
Burgers, yeah, that's awesome.
I made some burgers this weekend for the kids. I experimented a bit. I went 2 pounds of 93% lean beef, and then I used a pound of lamb.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, and a little teriyaki sauce, a little seasoning, and then let them sit for a while before I put them on the grill. They were pretty successful.
So what I want to say on this is that for everyone who's interested in burgers and likes burgers a lot, buy meat from your local farmers. You're not going to get any better burger. The meat processors in this area handle meat really well. Do yourself a huge favor. Get some local ground meat. It can be lamb, goat, beef, anything, pork, and Do yourself a great service and grill some local meat this summer.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the most important thing is you use a good local meat. The flavor is going to be so much more. And, you know, I like an 80-20%.
Yeah. Generally, you know, that's the way I go. I like a real fatty burger. Because I had lamb, I thought I would go for a slightly leaner cut of beef.
But yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. With a lamb burger is awesome.
Yeah, really nice. All right, let's go back to the phones. Jerome in Albany. Jerome, you're on.
Hey, Chef Lappy, it's Jerome.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. I just got in my car and I was like, oh my God, it's Chef Lappy.
Awesome.
Here he is.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah. Any questions?
No.
What is the best way to store your meat?
Storing meat? I would say loosely wrapped, if anything, or leave it in, if it comes vacuum sealed, leave it vacuum sealed. You know, you don't want to have it on direct contact with say, stainless steel or anything that it will take up other flavors or oxidize the meat. Because once the meat starts to oxidize, the flavor gets a little off-putting.
Interesting. And how long does that take?
It doesn't take very long. Some cuts oxidize faster than other cuts. But, you know, it's good to keep it wrapped in paper or, you know, but not directly on something like aluminum or anything.
Yeah, very interesting. I did not know that. Daniel in Goshen. Daniel, you're next.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to know if you guys have ever talked about reverse searing of steaks and if you've had any success with it.
Reverse searing.
I guess the only time I've ever done any type of like reverse searing.
What is reverse searing?
It's like you'll cook it slow to the temperature first, and then you'll sear it to finish it.
Oh, okay.
It. So I would do that if I was to like sous vide a steak, but I wouldn't necessarily reverse sear it in any other circumstance. Maybe a roast I would reverse sear, like a rib roast or something. I would start it at, you know, 225 and just finish it at 550 or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. We appreciate the call. It's 800-348-2551. Food Friday today, all about meat. Josh Coletto, Michael Lappy are here to answer your calls. And we go to Susan in Schoharie. Susan.
Hi. Yeah, great show. Just wondering, how does one purchase the bacon and sausage from SUNY Cobleskill? Sounds delicious.
The bacon is not for sale yet, but the sausage is definitely for sale, and that will be on Schoharie Fresh.
Okay, well, there you go.
Online marketplace.
Okay. And yeah. So the salt event is something to do with that?
No. SUNY Cobleskill is different, but the salt event is what will be held at Schoharie Valley Farms.
Okay. And
July 7th.
Very good. Let's go back over to the phones. Jim in North Pownell. Jim, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Great show.
Thank you.
And I would just like to put in a comment that never, ever, ever use charcoal briquettes because they're nothing but sawdust and glue. Always use lump charcoal and sprinkle apple wood chips over the top of it while you are grilling your steaks. Apple wood just does marvelous, marvelous things.
I use those.
To steak.
But I also use cherry wood and hickory, and they also work well, too.
Yep.
Well, yeah, the lump charcoal is great stuff, though. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and always, you know, organic lump charcoal, not processed.
All right, what are you going to grill this weekend, Jim, in North Pownell?
I will probably be doing a nice ribeye steak on my Weber grill.
Nice. Sounds great.
Yeah. Nice, very good. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551 on this Food Friday, and we're hitting the home stretch here. So if you have a question for Michael Lappy or Josh Coletto, now would be the time. And I tell you what, this has been good. You got to bring burgers next time.
We can do that.
Yeah, we should do a burger show.
Really?
Yeah, goats, and we'll do a goat.
Have
burgers,
we ever
lambers.
Done a burger show on this program? I wonder.
I don't know. That would be a good show, though.
That's a great idea.
I'd be interested in producing burgers for it.
Yeah. Really?
All right. I'd be interested in cooking burgers.
Yeah.
For it.
So while we have a minute here before the next call is processed through our call screener, Josh, tell us a little bit more about what you expect to be doing at Nighthawks in Troy.
So, generally from lunch to late night, we'll offer a really simple menu always that'll be a burger, all local grass-fed meat. The first cow I got was from Mariahville Farms, mm-hmm. which is a really great grass-fed beef farm, and they do pigs and other stuff that's all really great quality. There's going to be, you know, a salad that we're getting French fries from Schoharie Valley Farms.
Oh, beautiful.
So we're going to be using those, you know. There'll be roasted vegetables that changes maybe daily. And then for dinner, we're just going to have a chalkboard menu that's, you know, kind of inspired by whatever we're feeling, whatever the farmers drop off to
great.
Us.
So you have basically a carte blanche to do the way you want to do it.
Exactly.
Fantastic. All right, let's go over to Jim in LaGrangeville. Jim.
Yeah, hi. It's just a comment. My wife makes burgers, and I find them to be amazing. And what she does is she soaks the burger meat in milk before putting them together as patties and then cooking it. You guys ever fool around with that?
Michael looks shocked at this moment.
No, I've never done it, but I'm intrigued.
Try it.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued as well. Wow.
Yeah.
I tell you, I couldn't believe the difference between the two, but
she soaks the patties in the milk?
She soaks the burger itself.
It's essentially, you put the burger meat in a bowl, and then you add milk on top, and you use your hands to, you know, to work it, work the milk into it, and you let it sit for a little bit.
Does she add breadcrumbs as well?
Does she add breadcrumbs?
I never did, or she never did. But,
okay.
But
yeah.
It's really, I think it just makes it better. So.
Wow.
Awesome.
Well, that's a new one, Jim.
Kind of sounds like what Michael eats for cereal in the morning.
Yeah,
burger cereal.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Well, that's good. You stumped the band. That's awesome. Let's go. Who's been waiting longest here? Looks like Ann in Massachusetts. Ann, you're next.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm preparing kebabs, combination chicken chunks and steak chunks with vegetables in between. It's going to be cooked tomorrow, and I'm wondering, I'm putting it in the refrigerator. How should I store it, and how should I put any kind of sauce on it or covering until tomorrow?
I would say you want to maybe separate the chicken and the beef because they're going to cook very differently, and you don't want to risk any cross-contamination there.
Definitely.
Okay.
That's where I was going.
But to store it, I would lay them flat on maybe a sheet pan or in like a 9x13 baking dish and just cover it with plastic or something like that.
Plastic, or a baker's paper?
Oh, yeah, that works great. Anything to just, you know, seal it so you don't get any funky refrigerator flavors in there.
Oh, okay. Now, already they've been mostly put together, chicken and the beef. I've washed the chicken quite carefully. But you're saying I should take it all apart?
I would recommend that because the beef is going to cook much quicker than the chicken. And by the time the chicken is done, the beef is either going to be overcooked or by the time the beef is done, the chicken's
not going to be done.
Not going to be done enough.
All right. Last question. If I cook it right away, there would be less contamination?
No.
And then?
No.
No.
It's more of a fact of, you know, bringing the meats up to temperature.
Okay. All righty. Thanks.
Thanks, Ann. We appreciate it. Quickly over to Peter in Ulster Park. Peter.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I just have two quick comments. I have a traditional fireplace, and I grill in it all the time, during the winter, of course.
Yeah.
And I also, when I do chicken or duck or poultry outside, I steam them first, then they're cooked, and only for about a half an hour, so you don't want to overcook them. And then all you got to do is grill them, turn them as brown as you want, and it's wonderful.
Right on your fireplace
no
in your house.
Vanilla.
Yeah, no. So you do this in your fireplace, in your living room or sitting room?
Well, I do it in the fireplace. I grill in the fireplace, yes. It's just, you know, I build a fire, get it all nice and running, and then about 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whenever I want to have something, I'll put my grate on top of a couple of bricks, and it's back into the fireplace, and the fire's cooled down somewhat, so there's a lot of coals, and
yeah.
I can just keep feeding, you know, either lump charcoal or a small stick to keep it going.
That's the life. That's dedication. That's dedication.
It's going right up the chimney.
I love
that's
it.
Great.
Well, you know, as the owner of a fireplace, this intrigues me.
Yeah.
It's time to experiment.
I'll be on the news. Burned his house down, making a roast. Hey, guys, thanks for being here today. Really appreciate it. Support comes from Interim Healthcare for 47 years, helping families keep loved ones at home, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the greater Capital Region, Columbia and Saratoga counties and Glens Falls. InterimHealthcare.com. Warwick Valley Farmers Market, open for the 25th year with 35 family farms, artisan kitchens, bakeries, offering fresh from the farm food, produce, plants, wine, and more. WarwickValleyFarmersMarket.org. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused salts, garlic, peppers, and blends. Now featuring Gingartum Sea Salts, a combination of ginger, garlic, and turmeric. RollingRockSalt.com for upcoming events. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Thanks again to Michael Lappi and Josh Coletto for joining us today. Thank you for some great calls and lovely emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took our calls today. Jim Lavoulis is our producer. Thanks again for being with us this week on Vox Pop. Alan will be in the big chair on Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday. Have a lovely, safe weekend. Stand by for news.